Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who is the figure that a family member see wandering through their home? And then, what do they do about that figure that's wandering through their home?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And we got this great thing. It's called the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. And it really is. It's not just like some title that, you know, you put out there. It literally is. You get access to that. You get brand new bonus EPP episodes every week. You get advanced episodes of our show. It's all commercial free. That's how we support the show. That's how we keep it on the air. You get access to it when you become an extra podcast person. Sign up to do that over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Summer's coming up. Maybe you got a little bit of downtime. You know, we've all had a lot of downtime, but maybe you're looking for something like that. Our ebook or audiobook also in there, too, so you can binge away. I always enjoyed reading, like, creepy horror books over summer break when I was a kid. I remember doing Amityville a couple times over, so I always think of that. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. What's going on?
So funny you brought that up. Sometimes I wonder if we're connected by our brain waves or something, because I was going to ask you about growing up.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about our families before we started the podcast, and you did like some of that creepy stuff growing up. How did your parents react to that?
They were always cool with it. My dad never believed in any of it. He was just always like, blah, 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 whatever. My mom was always super interested in it. So, I mean, we grew up and I would watch, you know, Unsolved Mysteries or anything that was spooky on television at the time, which there wasn't much. But my mom was always totally cool with it. I played Ghostbusters and I had all the toys and stuff. So they were cool with it. My dad, like I said, he dismissed it, but my mom was like, oh, that's fine. And one of my favorite childhood memories is actually going with my mom. We'd hike through the woods and back there. And if there was a back way to get into a cemetery in where me and Todd grew up, called Ryanzi Cemetery. And it's a creepy, creepy, wonderful cemetery. And we would go in there and we'd go and collect hickory nuts from the hickory trees.
I thought you were going to say bodies.
Bodies. We'd go and grave dig. It was mother-son grave digging, and we'd try and find rings on people's hands. Sometimes you had to take the whole hand because it was so stuck together. But the guy downtown would always separate the phalanges and everything from the ring. It was great. Good money. But we would get hickory nuts. So it was, you go like get a bucket of hickory nuts, and you're wandering around a graveyard in fall, and that was fun. That was one of my favorite things.
I'm kind of surprised by that. I guess I realized that you guys did the walks and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. I always kind of pictured your mom as like, oh, don't read that stuff. That's bad, you know? And then I was, the reason why I brought it up was because I was thinking about your mom's reaction to it. My mom loved the scary stuff growing up too, but like she would make us, you know, watch vampire TV shows and movies right before bedtime. And then she also knew that I hated clowns. Like I was afraid of clowns as a child, uh-huh. mainly because she put a hobo clown painting in my room when I was very young and it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And as much as I said, Mom, I really don't like that thing. It was in my room till I was old enough to take it down myself.
Wow. Was she trying to like freak the shit out of you or what?
You know, that. And the more I think about it, I'm thinking that maybe Geraldine had a little reason for doing it. I don't know. But yeah, I was like, I always thought your mom maybe wasn't as cool with it as she apparently is.
And it was always like, you know, Ouija boards, you know, anything like that. But the topic, she didn't care if I read about. I think she found it just as interesting as I did. But that was always the thing. And the clown thing, I have a clown story too. I had a clown. It was like a plastic thing that was in my crib and you pull down like on the tie and then its hands covered its face. And it was just, it could have been a hobo clown. I know what the hobo clown painting is, but this thing, it almost looked like it as a toy version. And why on earth anyone created this for a child, I don't know. But it was in my crib and I hated that thing, but it stayed in there. And then after I, you know, got out of my crib, they kept the damn thing. And to, I don't know where it is to this day, but I'd say up until about 10 years ago, they would like go and still hide it around my house when they would visit. So,
wow.
I don't know if I have it somewhere or I threw it away eventually at some trip where they got it back in my possession. So the madness ended, but they would do that forever. And
I'm on a mission now at this age in my life. I'm going to try and end the whole clown thing in the world. I don't know how far I'll get, but every damn clown that comes up to me knows I don't like them. And that's when they like latch on and they get right in your face. I can't stand that.
What do you do?
I freak out. Like there's a clown that was around where we grew up. Her name was Sunshine, the clown.
Uh-huh.
And she had this button that said the letter I, uh-huh. the letter Y, and then the letter Q. And I said, so I was doing a remote broadcast and she was there for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And I said, IYQ. And she got right in my face and she goes, I like you too.
Oh, God.
And I just about crapped my pants right there. So down with the clowns,
I remember I never have liked clowns, but I remember downtown as a kid. And you may have damn well been down there doing a remote broadcast for one of the stations you were on at the time, because I was too young to even be in radio quite yet. But there was like Cuddles the Clown or something. It was associated with like Channel 32 or something. And he was doing like the episode of his show down there. They were taping it. And I remember I was in line to be one of the kids on the riser, and they're like, okay. And they miscounted like how many kids could be in the riser. And I was at the end of the line. Oh, there's no more room. I'm like, oh, shucks, let's go. Like other kids are crying and they're mad. Like, oh my God, I wanted to be on. I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here.
I do remember Cuddles the Clown. Yes. Another just a horrible memory as a child.
Oh, there were so many damn TV clowns. And thank God that's not a thing anymore. That was dip. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, growing up, my family had moved around the same town 5 times. The first 2 houses, I do not personally have any sort of paranormal experiences because it was from where I was a baby to about 5, I think. The other 3 houses were a different story. The town where I lived was called Meridian. I have not investigated the history, but I'm sure there's something to its past. My houses and almost all my friends' houses have had some sort of paranormal happenings. In 2004, we moved into my 3rd childhood home. My younger sister and I shared a room, so yes, we did have bunk beds. Bell is somewhere. Here it is. Gonna ring it. There we go. I'm not sure that was the cause of anything, though. Our closet had stairs that went up into the attic. It was not immediate, but both of us had begun hearing footsteps on the attic stairs. We both heard growling noises as well, but never thought to think it was anything paranormal, since we were 9 and 7. When I got older, I moved my room into the basement. Half of it was finished. The rest was a regular creepy basement. I always felt a little uneasy, like I was being watched, but it was never enough to move my room again. My sister told me of a time she went down and saw one of the stuffed cats on my bed turn its head. Neither of us knows what happened to it. We moved again in 2008 to a bigger house. My dad still lives there despite the stories I've told him. When we first moved in, everything was fine, no bad vibes or anything. The crazy part is that we bought it from my boyfriend's family, and they never had any experiences. The first experience happened while I was in my room. My parents' room was across the hall from mine, but set more in the corner of the hallway. I could not see their door, just the closet we had in the hall. I was sitting on my bed and thought I saw my mom walk into their room. Called out to her, but no response. So I called a couple more times, still nothing. I got up to talk to her, but that was not anyone in their room. Turns out she was down in the basement. The next experience I had was in the basement. My friend, sister, and I were sleeping down in there that night. It was cool. Big TV, comfy couch, giant beanbag chair. Room was split and had one of those accordion dividers at one point. So the one half was a living room, the other half was our computer room. I woke up in the middle of the night and looked over towards the computer desk. The TV and all the lights were out. So to the computer, my eyes went. Between the monitor and the tower, there was an orange, green, and blue light. When I looked over, I saw those lights, plus 2 additional red lights. I'd just woken up, so nothing clicked right away, but the longer I stared, the more intense the feeling was. Got up, ended up shoving my face in my pillow, eventually falling back asleep. My sister also had gone to bed one night in pants and woke up in the morning with him folded on her dresser. One year, our Christmas tree fell over one night, and everyone thought it was our cats that knocked it down. Looking back now, I'm sure it was something more than that. My dad has heard giggling and has had decorations knocked off shelves over the last couple of years. I still do not like to go over there alone, and I avoid the basement. My parents split up in 2012 when I ended up moving in with my mom after I graduated in 2013. She moved in with her uncle, who lived about 10 minutes outside of Meridian. I never really got any weird vibes. The house was just a little creepy at times. I've been painting one day in my room. My table was set up, and I'd sit in my back to the door. I was listening to music with headphones, and I heard a growling noise from behind me. There was not anything there when I turned around, and I even replayed the song I had on just to make sure it was not in it. I rearranged my room after that and made sure my back was not to the door anymore. Another time, I was playing hide-and-seek with my dog, and I ran into my room and hid under my covers. Right after I pulled the blanket over me, it felt like a cat jumped onto the bed and walked a couple of steps toward me. We did not have a cat at the time. By the time my mom had just gotten home one night and looked up at one of the windows and saw a figure walking through the dining room. No one was home at the time. Creepy stuff, a lot of things. I think the creepiest, though, is the accordion walls. I miss those. Those were cool back in the day.
I don't know how I feel about those exactly. I remember the church that I went to growing up had them between all the rooms.
Oh, yeah.
There's a certain smell that comes with those, too.
That's true.
It's amazing to me that they heard walking on the stairs to the attic and maybe some growls and never thought anything of it. Again, as children, we're so innocent, we don't think of that kind of stuff. But everything that this person tells the story of, like, is like, not just a little odd. It's like beyond odd. It's that step into creepiness mm-hmm. where they're seeing things, they're hearing things, you know, thinking things are jumping up on the bed. It's very interesting.
And it sounds like it kind of continues, you know, throughout childhood and in some different locations as well. It just makes you wonder, you know, what exactly is the history of the property? What is the history of the house? It's one of those things where I would encourage them to look it up. I don't know, like, if I had those things happening, I would have already done it, you know, 50 times over and still be digging into it and probably taking a look at the house and every time it goes on the market, trying to call the new owners going, hey, got any stories? Just because I'd be that curious.
Exactly. And I also wonder about, like, when people move to a location that may be haunted and then they move on and stuff still happens. Mm-hmm. Like, has something followed them or was it with them all along and this new location just kind of opened it up? I don't know.
I think there's two things that have to be considered there. Where is it something that's following? Or are they just a sensitive individual and they're going to pick this stuff up no matter where they go?
Like, good point.
There's no escaping it for some people. I know some people say they have the ability to kind of turn it off. And I've talked to many people who are like, I don't know how you do that. Like, I have this ability. I don't want this ability, but I don't know how to, like, make it stop either.
Yeah. You have to find the right person that can teach those skills because I don't think it's something you're born with.
Yeah, I agree. 855-853-4802 is a phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi. I just started watching your show. My name's Jackie, and I started to realize that my story might actually not just be coincidental, and maybe it is something more. When I was 13, my cousin had suddenly died. So he was 27 and I was 13. And he was my godfather and it was my brother's best friend. And he was everything to our family. Everybody adored him. It was very much a shock. It was the closest person in my life to had ever passed. And before it had happened, apparently, you know, he had said to his wife, you know, if I die, you know, one day, please look for rainbows, you know, make sure you look for rainbows, which she was confused and it made no sense. But at the time it was just something he had said. And within the weeks, before he died, he had reached out to my brother and reached out to my sister and, you know, made effort to see other people in our family, which was, you know, just something we looked back on retrospect, and thought was odd. Maybe he kind of subconsciously knew the end was near. anyway, after he had died, it was very shocking. We all got together and the whole family got together, and then the funeral, the day of the mass or the funeral, sorry, we had the biggest rainbow I have ever seen from side to side. Okay. So the rainbow's there, and we were like, whoa, like he's here. He's with us. We could feel it. He was there with us. And you know, maybe we all thought, okay, we're crazy, but there's a huge rainbow. And he said, look for rainbows when I die. So after that, we had, you know, gone through the funeral and everything, and we were all mourning. And I guess weeks later, I was laying in my bed, and as I was falling asleep, I could feel something tugging at my blanket. Now, I know that that sounds crazy. I was kind of, you know, kind of falling asleep, kind of not. It was like in that in-between phase. And I was laying there, and I could feel my blanket slowly tugging off of me. And I grabbed it all, and I was like, well, it must be falling off the side of the bed. That's weird. So I, you know, pull it all up, so nothing's falling off the side of the bed anymore. So I'm pulling it all up, and then I realized that it's being pulled again as I'm starting to fall asleep. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. You know, I could feel something was there, and I got so scared. And the thing is, I started to talk to him, and I said, James, I said, hey, I love you and I miss you and I'm so glad you're visiting me, but you are frightening me. And it never happened again after I talked to him. But he started visiting me in my dreams. So he started visiting me in my dreams, and one of the dreams I couldn't talk to him and he couldn't talk to me, but I could see him, and I was the only one that could see him. And in that moment, in my dream, I remember feeling like everything was going to be okay. Not a day goes by that I don't think of him. At my wedding, there was the biggest rainbow I have ever seen again from side to side at my wedding day. And I said to my family, James is here. He made it. So that's my story. I guess signs may not be as far away. And I love your podcast. So thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your experience and story with us. Thoughts?
You know, whether or not the rainbow is actually from him, it's nice that she's able to see something like that, experience something like that, and associate it with him. And I think that even if it does nothing but give us comfort, I think it's wonderful. Now, to be honest, I think that sometimes we do get signs from beyond. And I like the fact that she was able to communicate with him, hey, I'm glad you're here, but you're scaring me right now. Mm-hmm. And the activity stopped. That's happened in my family with my sister before. Same thing with my mom's energy. Mm-hmm. Mom, I'm glad you're here. You're welcome anytime. But what you're doing right now is frightening me. And it completely stopped. So I think that's interesting. But again, those signs, when you lose someone in your life, to have any way to hold on to them, whether it's that smell in that jar that was in your grandma's house, mm-hmm. or it's that rainbow, they're very, very special at that point. So never disregard them. Whether they're really connected or not, we don't know, but enjoy the feeling they give you.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's one of those things sometimes, you know, what I wonder about is she's talking about kind of being in that state of almost sleeping, almost not, and having the blankets being tugged on, feeling those sort of things. Is there something about that state that makes us more perceptive or more you know, open to experiences when we're there versus being wide awake? Is there something about that?
You know, there's a lot of people who believe that our dreams are not just things going on in our brain. And maybe the dream of her seeing this individual in her dream and communicating with that person there, maybe there is something with that. And I think you're right. I think there's something between where we are here on this planet right now and where we kind of go once we're asleep. I think there is a spot there where we're more susceptible to experiencing things. And again, I find that very interesting.
Do you think all dreams hold a meaning, or are they sometimes, is it kind of hit and miss, and you got to kind of decipher which ones have some sort of deeper, you know, meaning to them, and some are just, you know, the buffet of whatever randomness, you know, our mind's trying to process through?
Probably a little of both. I happen to personally believe that our dreams mean something, and it may even be a secondary existence of our energy and our spirit. But then again, if that's true, some of the dreams I had are really effed up, you know, and I don't even want to think about what they could possibly mean because they're just so weird.
That secondary existence is like, what kind of existence is this?
I think I'll punch out now and go home for the day.
Yeah,
exactly.
I have some. I was at a little get together the other night, the topic of dreams came up, we were talking about this, and I brought up, I have dreams where it falls into that line where almost a secondary existence. And it's not all the time. Maybe a couple times a month I'll have this. And I'll be in some other setting. It's like another city. And I live in town. I have this house that I'm well aware of. I remember it from previous dreams. I can tell you where the good restaurants are around town. I'm not me, though. Like, I am me, but I'm not like all of my past, all of my currents. Like, I don't have a daughter. I, you know, everything is different. But I'm living this life, and I have like a memory of living this other life, and all my current in real life things not there. It's just completely wiped out, but it feels completely normal. It's not like I'm missing a memory or anything like that. It's just like, yeah, I'm over here. This is what's going on. And there's no recollection of the real world at all. It's the strangest thing to wake up from, because you're just like, what the hell was that? And how do I remember all these things from previous dreams? And you start wondering, well, did I really remember things from previous dreams in that dream? Or is my dream just making me feel that way?
Well, you know, and we've talked about, you know, my belief system that when you die, your energy splatters and you can be in multiple locations at one time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's possible in our world today. Maybe there is a part of you that is someplace else and lives another life. It's still you. You're not necessarily always conscious of it, but it is going on.
Is that what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago about dreams, and people were telling their dream stories. And I mean, when you really look at some of these dreams, and some of them were crazy, where a guy said that in his childhood home, he would dream of trying to use telekinesis to open up the closet door. And when he couldn't do it, he would turn and look at the spirit that was next to him and make the spirit do it, and the spirit would do it. So, I mean, it was just like, this is a kid having these dreams.
Yeah.
It's just weird. There's a whole nother podcast for you to have all the time.
Well, it's one of the things you think of. I mean, is that the doppelganger type territory too, where you have another version of you somewhere else, or is, you know, it is a whole other thing. I actually did a podcast about dreams 3-4 years ago. It was called Dream Meanings. And it was very similar to our format here. People wrote in, called in the stories, and then I did my best to try and give some insight. And I did a little research on each letter and call that came in, so I had something more than just my gut. But I'm very fascinated by that, because there's so many interesting paths that it seems our dreams take us down, and whether they're, you know, a lot of it seems to be anticipatory of what's coming up. I think it's some of its anxiety trying to prepare us for what, you know, may be happening to us in the future, or this or that. But it's, you know, and sometimes it's like, well, how would anyone even know this or that?
Right.
So it's, yeah, you're exactly right. It is a whole other rabbit hole to jump down. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. My name's Shane. Been an EPP for almost a month now. I've written in a couple different stories. One of them I have to apologize for being a little scattered and a little short, I guess. I was trying to cram 3 events into one story and was afraid of making it too long. But I'm calling in today because I was listening to EPP episode 185, I believe it is, and it was talking about things coming up missing and reappearing later, and I got to thinking about the events that had been happening to me in the house we live in that I never really thought about until now. Here recently, I guess about a week or so ago, my oldest, he's living at the house right now. I'm an over-the-road driver, so I don't get to stay home much. I go home for about 2 days every 3 or 4 weeks. So he gets to live there and maintain the house for me. He asked me about a week or so ago that if I'd ever heard any footsteps in the house. Me personally, I hadn't. I never really noticed anything. So I asked my wife about it. She said that she's heard footsteps, never really thought about it any, never mentioned it to me because of the same reason. She'd never really put much thought into it. And then I just kind of been thinking about that off and on, and then I heard that I was listening to the episode today about missing items reappearing, and got to thinking maybe that's been happening to me since we moved into that house, because I've been having that happen a lot, and I've just been putting it at, kind of been thinking it's been my faulty memory that I misplaced it. I thought about putting it in one place and never really got around to putting it there or something like that. And it's been happening a lot in that house. Anything, random stuff. And I just wanted to call in and share that and see what y'all thought about it. I'm a yearly EPP, and I plan on remaining an EPP as long as you keep the show going. I've just about listened to almost first 200 episodes now, and still trying to catch up on all of them. I figure with me being an over-the-road driver, it won't take me very much longer, and I'll be up and current on your episodes. Anyway, I thank you for your show. Thank you for being able to share and have a place to listen to everybody else who's had occurrences happen to them similar to me, and different than me too. But anyway, thank you.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. What's your take on that? When objects, you know, when people believe they disappear and then suddenly they're like right in the obvious spot.
Haven't we all had that happen to us, though? I mean, specifically, I think I even shared a time with you recently when that happened to me. I think it does happen. And I think, again, does it move someplace and you didn't know it moved, or does it actually go away and come back someplace else? Mm-hmm. Again, is there a separate level of existence, a different realm or something like that? I'm not sure. What I do find really interesting on this is that it always seems like when you're dealing with stuff in your home, in your life, and then somebody from the outside comes in and starts experiencing them too, it's almost a relief because you're not feeling crazy anymore, because your son or your daughter or a loved one has moved in with you and all of a sudden they're experiencing things. It's always kind of like a vote of confidence that what you're experiencing isn't craziness.
It's validating. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like, okay, I am okay. Because there's all things you can have in your life too that are not ghostly. And it's like, I need to go get help for this. It's like, this is not ghostly, but there's something wrong. And it's one of those things where, okay, this is, you know, one of the things I do wonder about though, with the objects that seem to be missing, I guess there could be a third possibility to it. Is there something where sometimes something is just not allowing us to see it? And that gets a little scarier to think that there's something that could influence our mind or our vision or how we're, you know, picking up on things to that level. Because that means it's almost getting internal. It's not possession or anything like that, but it is something that, you know, it gets a little more intimate than just like all these external things around us. If there's something that's being or having that ability. But sometimes people will say, you know, they can hear, you know, they can hear, they can see, they can sometimes sense things around them. I guess maybe that kind of plays into that to a certain extent.
You kind of blew my mind. I'd never even thought about the fact that you could be looking at something and not see it. Mm-hmm. And yet I know that I've heard investigators at, you know, on ghost hunting shows and stuff actually have conversations with disembodied voices. Mm-hmm. So if the voice is there and you're communicating with them, why can't you see them? Can they see you? What, you know, you're right. What if they're manipulating your senses? And for that moment or that period of time, you just can't see that thing that should be right there in front of you. That kind of blew my mind.
Oh, and it kind of ties into the dream stuff too, because sometimes you'll have dreams that are maybe not necessarily us processing something, but maybe it's something more so, you know, where it's like something's giving you a message through your mind. Right. So if something's able to do that, wouldn't they, in theory, have the ability to manipulate what you might be able to see? I mean, our minds can do crazy things with our vision outside of ghostly occurrences. I remember one time I had, I drank too much water. And this is a thing. I had no idea this was a thing. I was kind of like on a healthy kick and being super hydrated. And so I downed this whole bottle of, you know, like life water, like one of those life water bottles, those big ones. And yeah. I was in the studio, still in radio. And I'm in the studio and I'm looking at the screen and all of the song titles and everything are messed up. But it's nothing's registering to me that this is me that's seeing it incorrectly. I'm thinking the computer's glitching out. And I'm like, oh, what the hell's going on now? And I'm trying to like look at this, like, this just doesn't look right. But I would look at it and then I look at it again and it'd be like the letters were in a different place of the words that were on the screen. I'm like, well, that's weird. So the engineer's office is literally right across the hall. So I'm about to walk out there and say, hey, can you come here and look at this? But when I look down, there's a newspaper in the studio and all the letters, the headlines on the newspaper are also messed up. And I'm like, what the hell? And I couldn't read anything. They're, like the correct letters were there, but they were scrambled. If I took my finger and like put it beneath the letters of the word, I could read it, but I had to like go slow. If I didn't do that, my mind was, it was not registering things in the correct order. And, but it was telling me that they were in these different places. So, and it turned out that I was like probably another glass away from drowning myself of water because your brain is like, it's a condition. It's the same thing that happened with that woman who did that contest, like hold your wee for a wee and died, where if you put too much liquid into your body, it literally fucks with your brain so much it starts tearing things up. So that's what happened to me. But that's the scary thing. I mean, our eyes and our vision and perception can certainly be altered in the states that wherever we are based on, you know, a mental condition or something like that. I would think that maybe something like that can also manipulate those areas as well.
Well, I'm telling you, that's so deep. I think I may have to have a whiskey old fashioned or something like that.
You're in Wisconsin. That's
kaboom.
That's like breakfast, you know?
In Wisconsin, you're right.
Exactly. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or over at patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, new EPP bonus episodes every single week, advanced episodes of the show, our whole archive. It's all commercial free. Check it out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.